everybody. Welcome to the Deeper Waters podcast. My name is Brandon, and today is a super special episode. I'm really excited for it. If you're on YouTube, you can see we have a couple of special guests today, one of which is Emma Worlman, who's been on before. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And one of our elders and leaders of the missions team, Dan and Christine Jensen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, Good to be here.
I'm super excited about this. They had an awesome experience this past summer over in Uganda, and I'm not going to talk a lot. You guys are going to do most of the talking, but just a reminder before we dive into all of that is just this podcast is uploaded every Wednesday morning, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, the whole deal. And just some announcements before we dive into everything else. This will be really quick. So first off, Impact this weekend. We missed you last weekend. Super excited to be back this weekend, continuing in the church series, Remember. Amy Baxley is talking. So if you're a friend of Amy Baxley, you're going to want to be there talking about prayer. She is going to nail it.
Nice.
I'm super looking forward to that. Tonight, if you're listening Wednesday, tonight, Wednesday after Awana, come hang out. I don't know if you've seen the giant TV of Daryl with the building project. You kind of see what feels like a giant version of him. Well, I'm going to hook up my Switch and we're going to play Mario Kart on that thing. So come and have fun. And if you're good at Mario Kart, if you're bad at Mario Kart, no worries. Come have fun. So, and then lastly, this Saturday, second to lastly, sign up for Hugs for Hunter. Either to come serve or just come eat some breakfast. Couple things. One, waffles. Two, you're helping a couple of good causes, and one of them being obviously Hugs for Hunter, and the other being student missions. So it helps us on missions and going to where God has called us. So come support that by either serving or eating. You can choose. We'd also need some help serving, so please sign up for that. If you have questions, you can let me know. And lastly, the most looked forward to thing by I think all of the middle schoolers, can't speak for the high schoolers, is the Fall Nighter, November 3rd. Sign up. You have to sign up by Monday. So do that. We'll meet at Onward at 6:30. Emma, have you been to the Fall Nighter before?
I have been. Yeah, I enjoyed it, except for I'm not a roller coaster rider, so that made the night a little tricky.
Probably long.
So yeah, but I had some good conversations with people, so it was nice.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited, as Andrea and I, with other youth pastors in the area, and Autumn Ridge, they're killing it over there. So I know they have some new staff, and they're like going along the journey. So it's been a lot of fun to work with them and get to know them. And yeah, really looking forward to that night. If you guys want to go to the Fall Nighter, you're welcome to.
I'm still on Mario Kart. Yeah. If you have Mrs. Pac-Man or Donkey Kong, I'm in.
I might keep it on your calendar somewhere around Easter. When we transform this church from a church to a retro game arcade area, we might have that for you.
There you go. That'd be great.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is an early peep for retro game night. Yeah. Song we're listening to this week's in the next segment, just something to be worshiping to. Usually this is a song that we'll be playing at Impact this Sunday night, but I went a different route because I really liked the song that Becky ended with this past weekend, and it's Send Me by Bethel Music. And it's just simply a heart of being like, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And that's really the heart that we should all have as Christians. And within our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, we talk all the time about all of Jesus for all the world and saying yes to whatever the Spirit is leading us. And that's the posture we want to have as a church. And we want to grow in. And maybe you're not there now, but what are some next steps you can get there? And so I'm bringing in the experts, because these guys are awesome, about what it means to say yes and what it looks like to go on mission. So why don't you guys just do a quick little intro, who you are, what's your role here at the church, how you participate, and yeah, then we'll get into the rest of our questions. So,
sure, I can start.
Great. Yeah,
my name's Dan Jensen, and we've been going to church here for a long time now. But we've been part of the Global Missions team and the prayer group that supports Global Missions, and that's been amazing just to get to know all of the missionaries that we support in a deeper way, be able to connect with them on a regular basis, being able to pray for them, and just knowing where they're at in their life journeys and the things that they're struggling with, wherever they're at in the world. I'm also on the elder board, as you mentioned, and we just really enjoy spending time here at Christ Community. I'm also on the board for Hope of Africa, which is the organization that one of the global organizations that we support through Christ Community, and the organization that we connected with on our trip to Uganda and to South Africa this year in June.
Great. And I'm Christine Jensen, Dan's wife. We've been married 33 years, and yes, we've been attending Christ Community since 2006. And yes, we're part of the Global Missions Team and the Missionary Care Prayer Group. So that's been a delight to be a part of, to hear from missionaries all over the world and be able to pray monthly for them. And also I'm involved with Women's Ministry, so a Precepts class and Armor of God on Thursday evenings. So
nice. And what Dan didn't say was that he's the board chair member of Hope of Africa.
Good job, Emma. Way to go.
Yeah, so we had a lot of work to do in Uganda as a vision trip, just getting to understand the whole country as a whole, which was a really cool aspect as someone tagging along to get to see all of that. So I appreciate them for letting me come along this past summer. And yeah, I think in November of last year was when I started being on the Global Mission Team, and I just really wanted to learn the missionaries that were part of our church and be a part of praying for them and hearing their stories. So yeah, that's kind of how I got plugged into all of that. So yeah.
And Emma, so she also doesn't short herself. She also serves not just on the missions team. So if you are interested in missions, you can be on the team as a student.
That's true.
That is, so way to go on that. And then also she serves with our CIA every other Sunday night when we meet talking about leadership. You serve on the PAC team, which is a new team, prayer and connection team.
Yes.
So super excited about that. Mm-hmm. And then she also is one of the leaders for the Century Bible study that happens every Friday morning.
Yes.
So super awesome stuff. What, you guys are doing awesome things. That is not a requirement. You do not have to be doing so much. I think it's just saying yes to Jesus is a requirement for missions. Mm-hmm. And you guys do a great job at doing that. So I just want to ask you, what did that yes look like? Those steps leading to Uganda, you being on the board, what was that story for y'all?
Yeah, I think when you look at this, it may seem a little scary. Wow, they did all of these things. But this really started many years ago for us. And it was a matter of praying of, hey, God, where do you want to use me? What do you want me doing? And he will typically start with smaller things, and you will build that faith step upon step in that faith journey. And he will call you into the areas that he wants you to be at. So when we talk about global missions, I think it's important to understand that missions can be local. Missions can be citizen. Missions can be down the street. It can be your next door neighbor. It's just really praying to where God is calling you to, and then being invited. So we were invited on a few different trips early on, and we used that to build experience over time. So we served in Sisseton for a number of years. We led that trip for a while. We were also asked to go to Dominican Republic. We prayed about that, and we felt called to go there. So we helped open those doors initially too. And that's been really exciting. And I know a lot of the youth have attended the Dominican and had a really amazing experience there as well.
I got the chance to go to Dominican this past summer. Yeah, it is awesome. Rick and Tammy are doing a great thing down there. So if you're an upperclassman, you're like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You should know. You should just go.
Yeah, and to add on to that, in our last missions meeting, they announced that there is a paid internship in the DR that's happening this summer. So if any of you are interested, you could keep nagging other people to like find more details, because that is a neat opportunity. So,
yeah. Micah Williams. Yeah, someone needs to send this podcast to Micah Williams.
Yes.
He'd be all over that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the story of Hope of Africa actually starts in this church, which is amazing, because around 2010, 2012, Heather Lytle, who is the founder of Hope of Africa, was praying about going back to Africa because she had served in a choir with the children. And so we were praying, and we started to pray in Todd Johnson's house and come together as a prayer group. And through that, Heather went to Africa and started the Leadership Development Program in Uganda and South Africa. So to be able to go and see the country directors, the board, and the staff of something that we had prayed for the past 10 years, it was very emotional. Yeah. So to see God and what he raised up and how many people through the Leadership Development Program, how many people are reached through the love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really amazing. And for me, I felt like it was a desire on my heart to, after reading a book about a missionary from Uganda, that I desired something like that. And then the next week, Heather, who you're talking about, she came, and that just lit up my heart. And so, yeah, when they later asked me in March to join them on their trip, it was like a dream come true. And then God actually opened the doors for it to happen. So, yeah, it was a neat experience with God answering that prayer.
So when we talk about life groups, this really was a life group 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as we were working and praying and living life together, from that came Hope of Africa. From that came Awana being brought into Uganda and South Africa. From that, God opened many doors. So being part of a life group is just amazing. And not just living life together, but the ways that God can use that, you never know. And maybe if you join a life group now, 10 years from now, you may be going to another part of the country and or another part of the world and working on something that God has opened through that prayer. Yeah.
What I love about Impact is that we give y'all life groups. Like, yeah. You know what? You just show up and we get throw you in one. And I think, Emma, I think about your group, the mm-hmm. senior girls, and yeah. watching you guys come together and pray for one another and do life mm-hmm. with one another. And, like, that's an opportunity that every student, every one of y'all gets to have. And it's like, mm-hmm. this is something special. Like, a whole missions organization reaching thousands?
Literally thousands.
Less.
220 plus churches have Awana with thousands of kids. Mm-hmm. Thousands, and hundreds of youth leaders leading thousands of kids through Awana experiences. Yeah, absolutely.
So I would mm-hmm. say to your life groups, you can think small about them, and that's fine, and then small things will happen, or you can think big, because mm-hmm. God is way bigger than anything you can think of. So
yeah,
great. So I'd love, and I know, Dan, you mentioned to me before the podcast started that this podcast would go 3+ hours.
It's not going to, we promise.
About, and then not even scratch the surface of stories. Yeah. So if you can just share a couple of stories, maybe some things you learned about your guys' experience overseas.
Yeah. So that's actually two very separate questions to me. Let me start with the second one first. So what did we learn while we were there, and what did we learn through our other experiences? I think the thing that is one of the things that God has really impressed upon my heart is when you're a believer and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can go to another part of the United States. You can go to another part of Rochester. You can go to another part of the United States. You can go to another part of the world. You don't even have to speak the same language, but you can bond and connect with other Christians that share that same spirit in ways that go beyond all understanding. And we've seen that time and again. We don't speak the language, but we build these connections and these friendships because we share that spirit of God, that commonality, that common bond. That is probably one of the biggest lessons that I've learned over time. So a story, and we'll just share a few. But if you ever want more, catch any of us in the hallway. We'll be very happy to share. So I was asked to speak at a youth leadership camp. And so they have, in Uganda, there's a piece of property that is bordered on one side by Muslims, bordered on the other side by Catholics, and then on the south side is voodoo. And literally next door to this property is a witch doctor. And the red robes, drumming ceremonies, burning fire 24/7, literal witch doctor. But God is bigger than all of that. So this youth event, I was asked to just put together about 10 or 15 minutes of material, and I was going to speak on the fiery furnace and the way that God, as our father figure, is there in the middle of the furnace, in the middle of the fire with all of us. So I step in, and it was like, wow, we want to keep this short because we got games. You know, this is youth. They're here for the games. They don't want to hear this old stodgy guy talk. All right. So we get there, and we're in this tent, and about 50 people, and we're crowded in because the tent is that's like at full capacity. And I'm two sentences in, and it goes from a blue sky, couple little white clouds, to a downpour of rain. We pulled in the flaps of the tent. It rained so hard, they had to bring in a microphone for my voice to carry inside the tent. And so I'm going through my time, and pretty soon it's like, well, it's still raining, keep going. I'm asking questions. I'm talking about my faith journey. I'm inviting people, if they're interested, to turn their lives over to Christ, to make first-time decisions. 2 hours into this, I was getting questions from Muslim students that were really challenging. Well, isn't Jesus a prophet? How do you know he's God? Some really challenging questions. And there was twice, I really specifically remember going, I don't have an answer to this. So I just this little prayer, Lord, I'm about to open my mouth, and I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to come out because I've got nothing here. And both times the translator, Herbert, he looked at me and he couldn't believe what I was saying. I don't know what I said, but clearly God was in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. And here's how we know that God was in the midst of it. At the end of that, we had a young Muslim gentleman in the corner who did give his life to Christ for the first time. We had at least two others that made very significant steps along that journey. And I'm a bit of an introvert, so I am like, I'm done. I've spoke everything. I've got nothing left in me. My tank is empty. And I'm about to say, and the questions are winding down, and there's no more questions. So I'm like to thank everybody. And I know it's still raining. Two sentences before I finished, the rain stopped as fast as it started. The skies were blue. We pulled the tent covering back. We walked outside, and there was no puddles. The grass was wet, but there was no puddles. It was as hard as it rained. So it was really cool to just see how God came that day and said, hey, we need this group to spend more time than the few minutes that we had prepared, and created that opportunity. And it was really great just to see how he moved through the midst of that.
Wow. That is so cool. That is so cool.
So while we were in Uganda, we were staying in Wakiso, right outside of Kampala. And we also went to a village of Jimbo, and there was a learning center there. And there was a young girl, Sarah, who was helping with the learning center in Jimbo. So we had the opportunity to listen to her story and pray with her over some life situations. But during the break, we had a morning group and an afternoon group. And during the break, she would write on the board, and then it became obvious that she hadn't finished her schooling and that she was there to help with the little children, but she was also looking to further her education too. So Hope of Africa Leadership Development Program is a discipleship program, so the youth are actually leading the learning centers. The children in the village are not able to go to school, so they're hoping to the children to get ready so that they can go to public school. And so while we were in Uganda, we visited two village schools, a private school, and a public school. So they told us that we were going to go help with Awana. So we were wondering, well, how are we going to fit in as a volunteer? Because I've never had Awana at a public school. So the staff, Alex and Jericho, they said, well, Christine, you're going to lead this Bible verse. And it was Psalms 32:7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. So when we got to the school, the public school, we met with Headmaster Olivia. And there were hundreds of children, but there's only 7 teachers there. But we were able to bring 100 to 200 students out on the lawn. And Alex and Jericho, so Dan helped Alex run the games. And then I met with a group of students to help them learn the verse. So that was an incredible, it was a beautiful sunny day in this little village. And they all lined up. with their purple uniforms at the public school, and we're so happy, and we took a picture at the end, and then they said, oh, you can give them a hug. So it was 100 kids coming around Dan and I, and it was just, it was so wonderful to be able to teach Awana at a public school.
That's cool. It's really, it was so cool for me to see the same Awana logos halfway across the world and in our church building. And so that was just a lot of fun. And personally for me, what stuck out was I met a young girl named Nancy. She was actually 19. And so we were just with her for a day in Gulu, which is 7 hours north of where we stayed most of the time. But I really had a good time connecting with Nancy, and so I was getting to know her and asking her about her family life and if she misses her siblings being away from home. And she was like, well, there's a lot of us. There's 20 kids in our family, and it looks like I have one dad, and there are five moms a part of the family, and it's kind of a mess being there. And so she couldn't afford schooling, and so she was working at this farm to pay for her tuition. And it just really stuck out to me how grateful I am to have everything handed to me with schooling and not have to work for it like so many kids are doing. And then also Nancy, she told me that she would have to walk miles to get to a church because they were so rural. And so her and then who was the other guy there?
Samuel.
Yeah, Nancy and Samuel. They both started a church together on the property as just kids who were like 19 and 18. And I just think that's really neat because they had responses from the community and were making an impact. So I loved Nancy and I loved that experience. So I wanted to share it. Yeah.
It's such a great experience. And often on these trips, like you guys obviously got to serve in so many different ways. What is something that you might have learned that you took back from going on this trip that God showed you while you were there or God taught you as you're reflecting and on the trip and processing like all that you experienced?
I think some of the big things, the big takeaways are that people on the other side of the world, they're people just like we are. And they have hopes, they have dreams, they have families, they want to build relationships, they want to get to know you as you want to get to know them. And there's so much that we can learn from them. So, but at the other, on the other hand, there's a lot of cultural differences that are really interesting. I mean, obviously, besides the way people talk and dress and the foods that they eat, there's a lot of... So as an American, maybe I'll change this a little bit, you know, and many of you, I have my list of things I want to get accomplished. And if I get those things done, I feel good about myself, right? I check those things off. If I don't, it's like, oh, I didn't feel like I got done what I wanted to. What I've learned in other parts of the world is the culture is so very different. While we were in Sisseton, I found that the most impactful thing I could do was sit with an elder under a tree for an hour and not say a word. And at the end of that, she turned and she opened her heart to me in ways that just brings tears to my eyes when I think about it now, the things that she went through as a young person. While we're in Uganda, we made friendships there that were deep and amazing really quickly. And I realized how big the hearts are of people in Uganda. And I mean, we're often sort of closed off, right? You know, we're a little guarded, but what we found is the people in Uganda, they just have amazing big hearts and they just want to get to know you. And that the love that they have shines through in the midst of that. So culturally, there's a lot we can learn from other cultures. There's a lot we feel like we can bring to them, but it always seems like no matter how much I try to bring to help or to teach or to guide, I always come away with learning and receiving so much more than I do. And I think that's what God intends with a lot of these trips.
I think one of the best learning experiences I've had is to trust in the Lord, because when you're entering into a new culture such as Uganda, you don't know the monetary system, the transportation system. You're totally dependent on the people who are receiving you. And Hope of Africa staff met us at the airport, took care of us, taught us, you know, how to do the transportation pieces, the money. They were very patient with us, but just putting our trust in somebody else and our trust in the Lord and building off of that. And I think that the youth, which is 15 to 25 in Africa, they are now leading the learning centers. So they're opening up additional learning centers. And I just have so much respect, and they're so honoring to the elders and to others and caring. I know we have a lot of material things in this culture of the United States, but clearly each person that we encountered had so much joy and not a lot of money or material things. The children came happy, singing songs, playing games. So it just, the joy of the Lord was overflowing, and just not being dependent on material things.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. And there's a verse along what you were talking about in Mark. And so I want to share that, Mark 4. And I was at a missions college recently, so they talked about this, how America can kind of feel like thorny soil that the seeds fall on. So Mark 4:18 says, "The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's words, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced." And I feel like often in America we face that struggle of, like, we're desiring so many other things and wealth, and we're worried about the here and now. And I felt like Ugandans are the most loving people I've met, and they have an eternal viewpoint and a hope to look forward to. And so in a lot of senses, Ugandan is a soft-soiled place right now that is ready for harvest. So it's just beautiful to see that they are desiring God. And when you can relate with God with them, you have a lot to bond over. So, yeah, I just thought that was a neat thing that I learned.
Yeah. That's great. And we're always about learning and growing and taking next steps. And for our students, what does that look like to engage in mission? Whether that's God's calling them to missions or God's calling them to be here, because someone still has to send, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like maybe for our students where they're at right now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like we're a next step sort of church, aren't we?
Yeah, try to be.
And we talked about this a little bit before. I think it's so important to recognize that we need to start everything with prayer. So praying, seeking the Lord, and just saying, "Lord, where do you want to use me in the midst of this?" And you can focus that prayer in a little bit. Say, "Lord, I'm interested in serving you, or maybe doing something mission-oriented. What do you have for me? What doors can you open?" And through that prayer, I think the next step is an invitation. So we've consistently been invited into these places, and you listen for those opportunities and you have those conversations, and God will call you. He will open those doors and you will start to see that invitation. And that might be something locally. It might be supporting somebody else that is going. It might be praying for somebody else that's going. God will help you to discern what that is and how important that is. It may even be going on a trip to Uganda next year. You just never know. So yeah, be very prayerful about that. And I would also say, talk with others, talk with Brandon, talk with others, and they can help you to think through that and discern that as you're praying and as you're considering that. And talk to myself or Christine or Emma, we'd all be happy to just walk along that path a little bit with you as you're seeking what those next steps might be.
Never underestimate the power of prayer. Absolutely. Prayer is an amazing thing. Yes. And we can always encourage and ask God to come alongside us, to go before us, and that is done through prayer. Yes. That is such a powerful thing. So even if you yourself don't have the ability to go somewhere, you can always pray, and that is makes such a huge difference.
Sure. Well, locally, I think serving our neighbors, serving can produce so much joy. Mm. And I had the opportunity in 2008, we had 4 or 5 youth come to our Cambodia mission trip. And what I noticed about youth under 18 is that they acclimate to culture better than adults. And coming back, it's a little bit easier transition. So that just really inspired me. So when Emma said she wanted to come along, I said, hey, I've done this before, and I know that youth acclimate to culture so well. And so, yeah, just continue to pray, talk to your family about it, talk to your pastors here if you feel called into the mission field. Because certainly there are so many benefits of making friends cross-culturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for what missions might look like here in Rochester, I just think it starts with finding a love for God, falling in love with Him, and then from that flows love for others, especially the lost and lonely in your schools or your church or whatever that looks like. And it can be uncomfortable to step out of your comfort zone or walk away from your friend group to go pursue someone. And it definitely might make your stomach turn, but if God's prompting you to do it, just seek after the lost and lonely wherever you are, and God can use what you have in that moment. So, yeah.
I love how you talked about, like, it starts with a love for God, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we love God, and out of that, when we chase after Him, when we choose to have a relationship with Him, out of that comes our desires, out of that comes our dreams, and out of that comes, like, the love that we have for people and the compassion we can have for people. So I love that you said that, Emma. And that's everywhere. And I love how we even engage missions as a student from a program standpoint, like where in middle school you get to start here in Rochester and in the Twin Cities. We start here. We work with our local ministry partners, whether it's tying blankets or serving at the church in various ways, helping out with the VBSs and going up to Envision Twin Cities, helping and engaging with the Hmong culture up there. And then our region trip, I know it's been different places where it's Kentucky or Chicago or Texas, but even broadening out, and then even lastly going overseas to the Dominican where we set that out. So there is a place for you wherever you're at. Whether you're in middle school, you're in high school, whether you're like a young Christian in high school, like wanting to take a next step somewhere, there's this place for you. If you've been a Christian your whole life, there's a place for you to engage in missions and through these trips, and I encourage you to go on. Or you can be like Emma and go somewhere for a month. And there's a bunch of opportunities out there through our church, through the Alliance, through so many different ways where you can engage in mission. But want to bring it back to you guys. What are your next steps? After a trip like this, after an experience like this, what are your next steps and missions?
Wow. So part of the aspect that we didn't cover is that in both Uganda and South Africa, unemployment is between 40 and 60%. Wow. So we really focus on and the other thing that's very common is due to AIDS and wars and just a number of tragedies, there's a large number of what we would call youth-led households. So maybe the oldest sibling is raising the younger brothers and sisters, and maybe there's kids that are coming from other areas that are orphaned that they're trying to help raise. So we focus on helping grow youth-led youth leaders through the calibrating their heart to Christ, making sure that while they're Christians, you know, that they have a foundation, a biblical foundation of what that means. We help them to grow in jobs, and then as they have a job that's something that they enjoy, we help them to turn that into a business, because with that level of unemployment, you can't just go get a job. And then we help them to focus on how they can just live, you know, what are the basic living skills that you need. And finally, we ask them to give back to their community, and we work with them to create a vision. So we have just amazing stories of, like, one young lady's a seamstress, and she sewed uniforms for the neighborhood kids. So because you have to have a uniform to be able to go to school, so that allowed them to go to school. Every morning they come over, she combs their hair, gets them ready, gives them a little snack, they go to school. Afterwards they come back and she does a little homework help with them. In between, she's doing her sewing business. So she's giving back to her community. Wow. Those are the examples of things that we're doing. So we have the property through Hope of Africa in Uganda that we talked about. And in South Africa, we don't have a property. So we have signed a contract. We are, like, trying to dot the I's and cross the T's on the last parts of that. And there's a large building that God has just opened the doors for us to be able to purchase, and it's called House of Prayer. There's a church that meets there, but it's a two-story, fairly large building that once we finish being able to purchase that, that will be the center that we'll be able to bring youth to get trained, so we don't have to try and do these ad hoc trainings that are happening out in the churches and out in the community. We can bring people to a central place, and then we're going to start to open micro businesses there. So we're going to have maybe a coffee shop, a small bakery, maybe a place that people can sell some of the goods that they've made. So next steps is we really are just trying to pray and get the last bit of funding in place to be able to help that to come to fruition so that we can have that center there available for all of the youth to be able to come to. The other thing that we're doing is we're focusing on and praying about a potential trip to either Uganda or South Africa next year, but bringing a team from Christ Community. So so everybody could be in prayer on both of those things, and those will be the next steps that we'll be focusing on.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So our trip this past summer was a vision trip to see how we can encourage and invite others to join us along the way. So next summer, 2024, we're hoping to reunite with the learning centers out in Jimbo and surrounding villages to see how they're creating new learning centers and villages so that the youth that are not able to go to school will have a pathway into the public school. So parents right now can't afford public school, but the youth leadership, they are working at the school. They're actually teaching the curriculum Roots to Fruits. So we're gonna go back and see how those programs are coming along. So those are our next steps, participating in the global mission team, staying in contact with missionaries across the world, and inviting people to our missionary prayer groups. So,
Yeah, and personally for me, I just fell in love with the country and felt a sense from God that, you know what, staying here for a year would be great, or however many years. And so it just gave me a sense of like, it would be possible for me to live there long term, in a sense. And so, yeah, it was that two nights before leaving Uganda, I texted my parents the longest text of how we could get me to stay another month, but they didn't go for it. So anyways, my steps are just huge prayers on college and direction, because that determines, I guess, the mission pathway in CMA or general or whatever that might look like. So I'm just praying big prayers on that and trying to trust God with the next steps he has. So, yeah.
I remember talking to your dad the day after he got the text. It was at one of the pizzas in the park. Yeah, he was very looking forward to you coming home.
Yeah.
Again, I would invite you guys to pray for these guys on and for the Global Missions team about what missions looks like here at CCC as we're continuing to take next steps and going, as the Alliance has been saying, going to the hard places, and Uganda and South Africa being one of those. As Dan mentioned, just surrounded by so much of what the enemy is working against, but good thing that God is bigger, right? And we get to join in on God's team and what he's about, and also pray for yourself of what that looks like for you, because we all have a role. We are one body, and we all have many parts and many gifts, and we get to encourage and step in when, where we can. So pray what that looks like for you. And if you have questions, like they said earlier, grab them in the hallway Sunday morning, Saturday night, and yeah, ask them all the questions. I'm sure there's way more stories that we couldn't get to today.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening. Just a reminder that we get this podcast is up every Wednesday. It's on YouTube or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you for listening. If you have any questions, please reach out, whether it's on missions or anything else. We know just we love you. We care about you. And with all that being said, go and be more like Jesus. Be great.